In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. St. Thomas Aquinas is likely the greatest doctor of the Church. The fact that he was so outstanding in knowledge, wisdom, and holiness is certainly linked to his Eucharistic faith. St. Thomas Aquinas, as many of you know, is the one who composed the Mass prayers and hymns for the Feast of Corpus Christi. Once again, in today's Holy Gospel, the risen Lord appears to his disciples. Our Savior Jesus Christ continues to this day to come into our midst. He is truly present with his body, blood, soul, and divinity in the Holy Eucharist, in the Holy Sacrifice of the Mass. The Easter octave, today is now the fourth day of that octave. The Easter octave is overflowing with grace to grow in our Eucharistic faith. Listen to one of the ways in which St. Thomas Aquinas expresses the true Catholic Eucharistic faith in this prayer before Holy Communion. Hopefully the words sound familiar to you, because hopefully you pray this prayer often in preparation for Holy Communion. St. Thomas Aquinas then prays as follows, quote, Almighty and eternal God, behold, I am about to approach the sacrament of thine only begotten Son, our Lord Jesus Christ. I approach as one who is sick to the physician of life, as one unclean to the fountain of mercy and goodness, as one blind to the light of eternal splendor, as one poor and needy to the Lord of heaven and earth. Wherefore I beseech thee, of thine infinite goodness, to heal my sickness, to wash away my filth, to enlighten my blindness, to enrich my poverty, and to clothe my nakedness. Close quote. In this prayer, St. Thomas Aquinas is expressing some of the marvelous things that are present and taking place at Mass, and specifically in the Holy Eucharist. Now, ask yourself, if in fact I am spiritually sick, unclean, blind, poor, and needy, and it is Jesus Himself in the Holy Eucharist who alone can heal, wash, enlighten, and enrich me, how terrible is it that in general all Catholic Masses for the faithful have been cancelled? How shall we be healed of our sickness? How shall our filth be washed away? How shall light come to our blindness? How shall our poverty be enriched? How shall our nakedness be clothed? How? The possible threats of the coronavirus to our physical well-being pale in comparison to the threats to our spiritual well-being when we are deprived of the Holy Sacrifice of the Mass and the Holy Eucharist. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Victime Pascalin aude, symbole Christiani. Panus Redemptoris, Christus in gratias patri, reconciliami, peccato. Mors et vita duemco, conflixere mirando, dus vite mortus regnat. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Today is the fifth day of the octave of Easter, Easter Thursday. And the words of St. Mary Magdalene in the Holy Gospel are perhaps even truer today, in the year of our Lord 2020, than they were when she first spoke them as she wept outside the sepulchre. Mary Magdalene wept, quote, "Because they have taken away my Lord, and I know not where they have laid him," close quote. They have taken away my Lord. Reflect on these words inspired by the Holy Ghost. They have taken away my Lord. After the Second Vatican Council, the modernists in the church removed our high altars and replaced them with tables. They have taken away my Lord. In the wake of the Second Vatican Council, many tabernacles and crucifixes were removed from the center of the Catholic sanctuary. They have taken away my Lord. Communion rails were destroyed and statues of the saints removed. They have taken away my Lord. Many of the precious signs of love and reverence shown to our Lord at Holy Mass and Holy Communion in the traditional Roman Rite were changed and eliminated. They have taken away my Lord. In many parishes throughout the world, deacons have replaced priests and communion services have been substituted for the holy sacrifice of the Mass. They have taken away my Lord. And this year, we have sunk to the abyss of no masses available to the faithful during Holy Week and the Easter octave. They have taken away my Lord. During this Easter octave, let us implore the help and intercession of the apostles, especially St. Peter, St. Paul, St. John, St. Thomas. Let us implore the help and intercession of St. Mary Magdalene so that our greatest desire and love, and the greatest desire and love of all Catholics in this life, will be to seek and find Jesus in the Holy Sacrifice of the Mass and receive Him in Holy Communion with utmost reverence, humility, contrition, devotion, purity, and faith. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. As I said on Wednesday, 2 days ago, the Easter octave is overflowing with grace to grow in our Eucharistic faith. Time and time again, during this octave, there are references in the Gospels to the mystery of the Holy Eucharist. And we have such references in today's Holy Gospel taken from St. Matthew chapter 28. In particular, today we hear our risen Lord's final words before He ascends into heaven. Quote, "Behold, I am with you all days, even to the consummation of the world." Close quote. Our Lord's final words on earth, and in these words He promises to be with us always. This applies especially to His real presence in the Holy Eucharist. And so we, in turn, must promise to always be faithful to Him in the Holy Eucharist. We also have another very important reference to the mystery of the Holy Eucharist in today's Holy Gospel. And that is that the Gospel passage tells us that the apostles adored the risen Lord. It is essential to our Catholic religion, and it is essential just to our very nature as God's creatures, essential that we adore God. And this is precisely what we do at the Holy Sacrifice of the Mass. The Holy Sacrifice of the Mass is a perfect sacrifice of adoration, where we're able to adore God perfectly because we unite to the perfect adoration of our Savior Jesus Christ. And obviously at the Holy Sacrifice of the Mass, we also adore our Savior Jesus Christ, who is truly present. This is something that we also have to keep in mind, because it isn't simply that in the Holy Sacrifice of the Mass that we're nourished with the Holy Eucharist, which, again, as I've mentioned this week, this is absolutely essential to our life as Catholics. We cannot live without this spiritual nourishment. But we also cannot live without rendering true adoration to our Lord and to our God. And here also is why we see how essential the Holy Sacrifice of the Mass is. Because how are we going to be able to offer God the adoration that is due to Him? And it's due to Him every single day, every moment of every day, really. How are we going to be able to offer Him that adoration apart from the Holy Sacrifice of the Mass? We simply cannot. I'll conclude by reminding you again of the prayer that I quoted part of it 2 days ago on Wednesday. I'll just add a little more of it. Because in that prayer, St. Thomas Aquinas is expressing what it means to truly adore our Lord, truly present in the Holy Eucharist. And so, again, just still quoting part of that prayer, it's a prayer before Holy Communion composed by St. Thomas Aquinas. The part that I'm quoting is as follows. Almighty and eternal God, I beseech Thee of Thine infinite goodness to heal my sickness, to wash away my filth, to enlighten my blindness, to enrich my poverty, and to clothe my nakedness, that I may receive the bread of angels, the King of kings, the Lord of lords, with such reverence and humility, with such contrition and devotion, with such purity and faith, with such purpose and intention, as may conduce to the salvation of my soul. This prayer by St. Thomas Aquinas expresses a very important way that we are to adore our Lord truly present in the Eucharist. And that is to receive Him, but also throughout the Holy Sacrifice of the Mass to display these same virtues, to receive Him with great reverence and humility, great contrition and devotion, great purity and faith, a holy purpose and intention. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Simus Christus solexisse, laboris plenem, tu nobis vitores miserere. Amen. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Today's Holy Gospel for the seventh day in the octave of Easter is of great significance, because we could say that in a way we begin to see all of the disciples of the Lord, beginning with Mary Magdalene and then St. Peter, St. John, going to the tomb. And in today's Holy Gospel, St. John and St. Peter, they see the linen with which our Savior was wrapped. And for us as Catholics, this is a very clear sign pointing us to the Holy Eucharist, pointing us to the Holy Sacrifice of the Mass. Again, the tomb and the linen. At the Holy Sacrifice of the Mass, the altar representing the tomb, the altar linens also have great significance because they remind us of the linens with which our Lord and Savior was wrapped in. And the whole point here is that in today's Gospel, St. John, when he sees the linen set apart, the body of the Lord no longer in the empty sepulchre, he sees and he believes. Our risen Lord is calling his disciples to an incredible growth in faith, to come to a deeper knowledge and love of him. And we could say that the starting point is the empty sepulchre, the linen that are set aside. And we see the results of this. We see the results of the apostles cooperating with God's grace, because we see the difference in them during the passion and death of our Lord, when the persecution is there raging at its fiercest, and then afterwards, after his resurrection, and especially after Pentecost. For us, the lesson is extremely important, because it's something that is valid for every single Christian, every single Catholic that has lived since these glorious events. And that is that we too must grow in our knowledge and love of Jesus Christ by going to the Holy Sacrifice of the Mass. Our Lord wants each one of us to grow in incredible ways in our faith and in our love of him. And the fountain is the Holy Sacrifice of the Mass. And that's why it isn't just receiving Holy Communion, however important that is. There's no question that receiving our Lord in the Holy Eucharist is central to our Catholic life. But it's also a question of going to the tomb, going to the Holy Sacrifice of the Mass, to truly come to know our Lord and love him in all the ways that he is present in the Holy Sacrifice of the Mass. And I say this because right now I think admirable efforts are being made by some priests where the Mass is not being made available to the faithful, but at least they're trying to distribute Holy Communion. And so I would say, well, obviously that's good. I mean, that's a great good. But it's never sufficient, because we need the Holy Sacrifice of the Mass. Remember that when we come to the Holy Sacrifice of the Mass, the most important way that we participate at Mass, what really the true, let's say, definition of an active participation in the Holy Sacrifice of the Mass, is that we are coming with love and faith and doing our best to unite ourselves to our Lord and Savior and to his sacrifice, meaning that we are conforming the state of our mind, the state of our feelings, the state of our soul, to that of our Savior Jesus Christ. Especially in his submission to God's holy will, in his love for sinful man, in his willingness to die for the salvation of souls. Obviously, we can also add his humility, his praying for his persecutors and for his enemies. All of this are ways that we should be uniting ourselves to our Lord in the Holy Sacrifice of the Mass. The Mass has this power and it has this grace. We have to then do our best to respond. We have to be doing our best to also be victims and to be denying ourselves for the love of God and for the salvation of souls, as our Savior Jesus Christ does in the holy sacrifice of the Mass. And remember, kind of just as a rule of thumb, in terms of truly participating in the holy sacrifice of the Mass, the sentiments and the virtues that should be foremost in our minds and in our hearts are adoration, as I mentioned yesterday. And this we also see in the Holy Gospels, that before the risen Lord, the disciples adoring Him. So adoration, love, and sorrow. Obviously sorrow for sins. But adoration, love, and sorrow. The more that we're able to grow in these holy dispositions at the holy sacrifice of the Mass, the more we're adoring our Lord with faith and with devotion, the more we are loving Him, and by loving Him meaning that we're ready to give our life for Him, that we're ready to sacrifice anything for Him. The more that we're at Mass with that adoration, with love, with sorrow for our sins. And again, the greater our sorrow for our sins, the less we're going to sin in the future. The more these dispositions are in our minds and in our hearts when we're at the Holy Sacrifice of the Mass, the more we are conforming ourselves to the Divine Victim at Mass. And the truer and the more active our participation is at Mass. And that's when we're truly cooperating with the infinite graces that are present at the Holy Sacrifice of the Mass. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.